You're listening to the Gratitude Podcast, episode 99.
I didn't really realize how powerful they were until I had a very, very intense experience while I was traveling in India about 12 years ago. I was there for about 2 months, and within the space of 72 hours, I almost died about four times.
Wow.
Yeah, my bus almost going over a cliff, and then running from a forest fire, and then encountering a poisonous snake, and then encountering a mountain lion, you know, literally within this really short amount of time. And, you know, as I was, you know, out of my mind in fear and adrenaline and all of those things, there was this little dawning awareness of...
Support for this episode comes from 365 Gratitude. If you haven't done so already, make sure you check it out on Google Play or on the App Store. I'm using it as my gratitude journal, and I totally recommend it. It's free, and there are over 250,000 people already using it.
Welcome to the Gratitude Podcast on www.georgeandbenta.com, where you'll hear a new story each week that will inspire more gratitude in your own life. Our mission is to inspire 100,000 people to discover how to feel gratitude and live a happy life through the amazing life stories of our successful guests and their actionable tips. And now, the host of our podcast, George and Benta.
Hi, Gratitude Seeker. I hope that today you are open for some joy, because we have Ben Joya with us today. He makes mindful video games. He helps million-dollar brands, teaches how to lead with the heart. He's also a speaker, consultant, and two times best-selling author, and also the president of influencewiththeheart.com. He shows leaders, visionaries, and entrepreneurs how to make a bigger impact by inspiring more people to say yes. Ben shifted culture at a Fortune 100 company, created empathy and system thinking in video games for tens of thousands of people. He launched one of the biggest magazines in the world and regularly trains people, actually global business leaders at Stanford. He is doing quite a lot of interesting things, and I'm really happy to have him here. Ben, welcome to the Gratitude Podcast.
Thank you so much, George, and it's a pleasure to be here, and thank you for having me.
I love the fact that you have a name that also resonates with your personality. Like, you're very joyful and like uplifting somehow. I love that, and I'm really happy that we were able to spend this time together and share it with the audience, the Gratitude Seekers, right now. So the first question that I wanted to ask you is, what does gratitude mean for you personally?
Great question. Thank you. Gratitude, I think for me, is probably first and foremost a practice. So mindfulness is a big part of my life, probably central to my life, mostly in the form of meditation, but also in my day-to-day awareness of stuff, you know, trying to be in the present moment as much as possible, you know, with the good, with the bad, you know, with everything in between. So gratitude is one aspect of that practice for me. And it's something that I really rely on to help elevate my experience, transform my experience when things aren't working so well. And just to remind me of what an amazing gift we have in this life, and that we, or at least I, am responsible for that gift, because it's not just, okay, here's this gift, you don't have any responsibility for it. Like, I feel a deep amount of responsibility for having the opportunity and be able to really make the best of it.
I love it. We have a gift, and it is the life that we have, the present moment. And it is indeed a responsibility for us to appreciate it, because otherwise it's like with an ordinary gift that we don't appreciate, that we don't see, that we don't pay attention to, it's like it doesn't exist, and we don't feel it's a gift if we don't put in the time to appreciate it. So let us know a little bit about you, about your background, what I missed, like how did you get into creating video games and empathy? How did these two relate? Like, I think this is really interesting.
Yeah, it's funny how, the paths we take and how opportunity arrives to us. So my business is Influence with a Heart, and the things that I focus on teaching people and helping people with are empathy, story, thought leadership, and mindfulness, kind of as my four pillars or my framework. So I've written a book called Influence with a Heart, and that's what I'm speaking on stage about and teaching and coaching and consulting. I have, different kinds of clients like that. And, a beautiful thing of all places, on LinkedIn one day, somebody reached out to me and said, from a Fortune 100 company, and said, "Hey, we're doing this program, and we're teaching, or we want to teach our people exactly what you teach, but we'd like to do it as a video game because we realize it's so many people, it's 16,000 people to start off. We can't bring 16,000 people to one place for a weekend training. That's just impossible. But we want to deliver it to them in a way that would be really engaging and a lot of fun. Can you come help us do that?" And I said, "That's hysterical because I've never even heard of that before as a way to, to give people these kinds of teachings." And I said, "I'd be all over that." So, serendipity and opportunity. And I guess for me, it just, saying yes and jumping into something that first I didn't know was possible, and definitely quite a bit out of my comfort zone. But, as you know, very often outside of the comfort zone is where the magic happens.
This is wonderful. And I think it's a brilliant idea. And as I was mentioning in our email exchange, I think it's such a great way of teaching people. Like, I believe that through play, we learn much better than through serious conversation or serious book or something like this. I think play is something that's so ingrained in our being, in our way of learning, that it's actually a great way to teach something and to actually understand it and be involved in it. I really love it. And can you give us a few examples on how did it go? Like, how would people learn empathy in the game? Because I think it's empathy is important for gratitude as well. And I'm really curious of how you were doing that.
Yeah, so the narrative, the story of the video game was basically that you are a detective and your mentor from many, many years ago said, "Hey, come back to the small town that you're from because some weird things are going on here." So you arrive back to the small town and your mentor is missing. So you have to solve the mystery of where he is and also solve a couple of other mysteries that people are asking you to help them figure out by having different kinds of conversations with people. And a lot of the conversations really come down to empathy. Like, if you're asking empathetic questions and listening mindfully and giving empathetic responses, people are more apt to trust you and connect with you and feel like you understand them, you really get them, and then they will give you the information that you need. But if you don't give such an empathetic response, then some of the feedback in the game will guide you in being more empathetic, kind of give you some, I forget the term for it at the moment, but basically a little bit of prompt to say, "Hey, why don't you approach it like this?" So it's literally just, connecting with people step by step and opening the door to trust step by step.
Wonderful, wonderful. I love the idea of mystery, of being involved in a certain story. Like, this is really brilliant. But getting back to our subject today, when did you feel that it was the first time you experienced gratitude? Do you remember, actually discovering it and how powerful of an influence it can be?
Yeah, gosh, I think there were probably little nuggets throughout my life that I didn't really realize how powerful they were until I had a very, very intense experience while I was traveling in India about 12 years ago. I was there for about 2 months, and within the space of 72 hours, I almost died about 4 times.
Wow.
Yeah, my bus almost going over a cliff, and then running from a forest fire, and then encountering a poisonous snake, and then encountering a mountain lion, you know, literally within this really short amount of time. And, you know, as I was, you know, out of my mind in fear and adrenaline and all of those things, there was this little dawning awareness of, you know, wow, I got through this first thing, you know, thank goodness or thank God, or, you know, however I was saying it at that time. And I think in the moments that there was just that little bit of awareness, but when I got through all of that experience, I started looking back and going, wow, you know, I realized that as I got through each of those things, I said, you know, like, wow, that was so close. And, you know, this could have been terrible, but, you know, but it wasn't. And I have this other opportunity to, you know, to be alive for a little bit longer, whatever that means, you know, one day, 1 year, you know, one more lifetime. And I think that was really the thing that opened up the door and just brought it onto my radar in such a big way. And then I started, you know, really engaging gratitude very consciously and very directly from there.
Hmm. So take us there a little bit, like when you were in those situations. I'm thinking that it might be something like feeling that realizing that you're alive, and in those moments, I think that it's something like I really didn't realize that I was alive until I was in that situation, something like that. But let me know if that's on the right track.
It is very, very much so. I think that I appreciate you saying that, and I'd like to also add that, you know, I grew up in a, you know, in a very safe life in many ways, you know, at a fairly normal, if there is such a thing as normal, family. I was pretty healthy most of my life, actually quite healthy. You know, school, food, safety, love, like all of those things. And not a lot of exposure to death, just, you know, a lot of people not really dying in my family for a long period of my life. So I think it was very easy to take life for granted, you know, and really not have that strong orientation, you know, toward understanding that gift. And then this experience in India was like, okay, you know, let's reassess that in a really big way, right in my face over and over.
And how did it happen? Like with the mountain lion, for instance, like you were in the forest or?
Yeah. Hiking through the forest. I was with a guide the whole time, which was really, really helpful. And he was walking in front of me, and we could hear some sound kind of off the path, you know, some animal going through the trees. And so, you know, crunches of leaves and sticks. And, you know, we both stopped and listened, and he had a big, big walking stick with him.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw him turn, and I saw him lift the stick as if he was going to hit
something.
Oh my God. Yeah. And I'm walking behind him. So I ran toward him because he's the big guy with the stick. And as I got to him, I turned and I looked, and there was the mountain lion. But fortunately, I think the combination of the two of us and this guy at this point looked very big, right? He looked like a big animal or a big person because he had the stick over his head. The lion looked at both of us and said, okay, and ran away.
Wow.
Yeah. So it was crazy.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's quite amazing. And I was feeling the feelings, like just imagining how it must have been in that situation. Like your heart is stopping and you definitely are very present, very there with all of your senses, all of your thoughts.
Yeah, that's exactly it. I really was present in a way probably that I had never been before, because that whole weekend, I think it was a weekend, or those 72 hours, that was before I really had any sensibility of mindfulness and present moment awareness in a intentional way in my life. So it was like being schooled, you know, instructed in a very compact amount of time. It's like, okay, this is, you know, you're going to learn mindfulness and you're going to learn what it means to be present right now. It's like, okay, here I am.
Wow. Yeah. I can imagine that there's no better way of actually learning this and having a sample of how it is to actually be present with all of your being, and afterwards appreciating life, the fact that you're still alive and that that mountain lion didn't come towards you or do something that might have put your life at risk. That's wow.
yeah, it was definitely a gift. And yeah, I've noticed over my own lifetime, and I think it's the case with many of us human beings, is that, you know, we can learn certain things the slow and gentle way, which is wonderful and helpful and appropriate. And then sometimes there are things that, you know, we have to learn the hard way. And even though it's hard and difficult and sometimes terrible, very often the transformation can be much more direct, much more powerful, and much faster. I mean, I don't recommend that everybody, you know, go that route, but this was how my life unfolded in those moments.
Wow, this is an incredible story. But after that, you said that you started doing something to be grateful consistently. What do you do now, or what did you do after that experience to continue to be grateful and to cultivate this attitude of gratitude?
Yeah, thank you. I was literally going to use that phrase, attitude of gratitude. Because pretty soon there, after that experience, you know, I was still in India, and I ended up at an ashram for a couple of days. I don't know if you know who Amma is. She's the hugging saint. Yeah. So I was at her ashram. She wasn't there because she was somewhere around the world hugging people. I came across a book, and I came across that phrase of attitude of gratitude, and that really just struck me. And I made that part of my mantras. So I would just, you know, I would read a couple of inspiring things every day, and that was it. And I just tried to remind myself to be in that space as often as I could be. That was probably the first step. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think from there, you know, when we tune into something, suddenly it's much more present in our experience, right? Like, you know, if we think about a red car, all of a sudden we start seeing red cars everywhere, you know, a very simple example. It was that kind of experience of, hey, you know, the more I'm practicing and cultivating gratitude, the more I'm naturally going into that space, and the more I'm really feeling the benefits of that experience directly. And that was very, very powerful for me.
Yeah, this is the beauty of it, because once you see it, and once you become aware of the blessings in your life, they get easier to you. It's easier for you to see them. It's easier for you to access them and access that feeling. And it's the same with the negative feelings, right? Like, the more we complain, the more we have to complain about. Because if we go down that route, we can go for quite a while. And there are many things that we can complain about. And of course, the feeling that we get after complaining is one, and the feeling that we get when we feel gratitude and we look for the things that we are grateful is at a totally another level. Like, yeah, so it's up to us to see where we put our time, where we put our focus, and how much we are in the present moment. But by the way, gratitude has been connected quite a lot with being in the present moment. How can we be in the present moment more?
Yeah, so I learned a really fun practice from Stedman Graham, who is he's a leadership consultant and speaker, and he's also actually the partner of Oprah Winfrey.
Wow.
Yeah, and I saw him speak one time, and one of the things that he had us do was, you know, take out a pen and piece of paper, and in 30 seconds, write down everything that you're grateful for, or as much as you can think of. So just, you know, boom, 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 writing, 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 writing. And that was one of the most powerful exercises I ever experienced, because I looked down on the paper and I probably had 40 things on the list, and it was wow. all over the map. You know, it was, you know, very often, right, when you short circuit, you know, your thinking mind and just do something, right? Really, you know, wonderful and amazing things can happen. So that was one of the most powerful things. And that was a really, really great way to be in the present moment for me. Yeah. And then, you know, other ways that I guess, cultivate presence and mindfulness through gratitude. You know, one of the biggest ones is you know, literally before eating, right? Just acknowledging, you know, all of the plants and animals and human beings and everything else in the universe, literally, right? The sun, the dirt, the rain, everything that came together to create, you know, the things that are on my plate here right now, that, you know, if one of those things wasn't in the mix, none of those things would be in the mix.
That's so beautiful. Yeah, I love that perspective and how connected this makes us feel, like with everything that's around us and with everyone, with all of the, with the sun, with earth, with everything. I think this is beautiful, and it makes us see that we are not alone, that we are part of something bigger, and that there is quite a lot to appreciate. But I'm really curious about what surprised you about your list, like what you wrote there and you maybe weren't expecting to write. If you want to share with us, of course.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. I appreciate that question, because I haven't really thought of the list itself for a long time. I think one of the things that came up was a cheetah, you know, the animal, a cheetah. You know, I wouldn't have expected to, you know, that would be something that just came out in this flow. And yeah, just, you know, I had a fun experience of traveling in South Africa one time, and I went to a wildlife reserve where they were, you know, bringing some animals back to health. And I had an opportunity to actually pet a cheetah.
Wow.
You know, and yeah, I mean, it was absolutely incredible. And the cheetah was purring, and purring, you know, that size animal, I mean, it's this resonant, like, brrr sound coming out of this big skull. And, you know, petting a cheetah, you know, there's the trainer, not trainer, but there's the wildlife kind of manager there. And the instruction is you can only go down on one knee when you do this, because if in case the cheetah gets a little frisky, like, you have to be able to jump back.
Oh my God.
Right? Because it's like a cat that at some point can just kind of, you know, swipe at you. So for some, you know, interesting reason, like, that came through on that list for me.
What a beautiful experience. Yeah.
It really was. Yeah.
I love it. Thank you for sharing. Like, it's quite amazing. To be able to live such an experience, and it's definitely something unique and something that we and you remembered, and it was like close to your heart. That's really beautiful.
Yeah, thank you. That's a good way to say that, and I think that is the reason why, you know, that it was close to my heart. And yeah, thank you for saying that. That means a lot and lands very, very directly.
I love cats, and I know how healing and beautiful the effect of purring can be. Like, I know, and I can only imagine how it can be, how exciting it can be for for someone to pet such a big cat and to hear that purr. It's wow.
Yeah, it was definitely amazing. A gift.
Yeah, beautiful, beautiful. So before, like, if we could go back in time, like 10 years, 20 years ago, what would you tell your younger self about gratitude, about appreciating life?
I would say or invite him, younger me, to just make it a regular part of the day. You know, that it doesn't have to be anything complicated. It doesn't have to take a long time, but just to you know, make it a regular part of, you know, things that are happening throughout the day. You know, to almost make it as natural as breathing and as regular as breathing. Because I know that really would have transformed quite a few of my experiences. And I don't say that with any regret. You know, I know that, you know, my life, I think all of our lives, you know, we have the experiences we have, we learn what we need to learn. And at the points when we have some wisdom retroactively, that we can go, okay, that could have helped a little bit more.
Definitely. Yeah. So yeah, my question isn't aimed on regretting the fact that we didn't, but on what our audience, for instance, can learn from your experience and can get a few nuggets of wisdom from the new you, the present you, to the old you, that would have been quite interesting to have at that point. So yeah, that's my hope with this question. So you've told me about some of your experiences and how grateful that those experiences made you feel. Are there people in your life that made a difference and that you would like to mention or even tell us a story about how they had an impact on your life and why you're grateful for them?
Wow, gosh. I mean, the list probably is almost endless. And
sure.
The reason why I say that is because, yeah, it is because of the gratitude perspective. You know, it is that probably I can be, if I think about every single person that I can remember, that I have great gratitude on some level or another for them, you know, for quote unquote good reasons, you know, way they've inspired in me and inspired me and taken care of me and supported me. You know, probably my mom is first and foremost. I mean, she, you know, she carried me in her womb, gave birth to me and raised me. Right. So, I mean, that's, you know, that's amazing right there. There's pretty much nothing, you know, nothing that compares to, you know, what a mom does. No offense to dads, but, you know, there really is something about the mom. But, you know, just this idea of that, you know, being, I've really come to practice being grateful for the gifts that everybody gives, you know, even the people who've been most difficult in my life, who have, I wouldn't say caused me the most pain, right? Because we're responsible for our experiences, but, you know, have definitely been instrumental in the pain that I've experienced. that there, I still do have gratitude to them. You know, I went to an all boys Catholic high school in New York City, and you know, the dean of discipline, so to speak. You know, if I can use the H word for a moment, like, I hated that guy. Oh my God. He was, you know, he was a jerk. He was a bully. Yeah. I think he cared about us, but the manifestation of that care, you know, was very, you know, was kind of very twisted and negative. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that I'm forever grateful to him for is my fighting spirit and fighting maybe isn't the best word, but my strength and perseverance and, you know, desire to speak my truth in the face of adversity, in the face of negativity, in the face of injustice. It really comes from that guy in a big way. It wasn't fun by any means, but it is a gift that I have forever because of him.
That's so interesting. I think that so many of the experiences that we are in right now, that we just can't understand or can't see why they're happening. We might at one point get the fact that they were gifts, even though they seem to be wrapped in a really like unpleasant paper, you know. And I'm thinking that this wasn't the only situation in your life, right? When something seemed in a certain way, and afterwards you found it to be a gift.
Yeah, you're right. There are definitely quite a few. Sometimes, you know, it has taken me several years to figure out what that gift was. but one thing I have learned is just to trust that the gift is there. You know, even if it doesn't reveal itself right away, there is always that gift one way or another. And, you know, literally that practice of, you know, just, I've often said, you know, thank you for what you've taught me, even if I don't quite know what that is yet, because that starts opening up that space, and that starts creating some softening in the heart, you know, for that gift to come through. Because if I'm not saying thank you, then you know, I'm keeping that shell around my heart and not letting in the goodness, right? Mm-hmm. It still, again and again and again, comes down to choice.
Yeah, this is beautiful, actually, because as long as we believe that there is a gift there, we will find it. Mm-hmm. And yep. As long as we seek gratitude, even in these situations, we have totally a huge opportunity and a huge possibility of actually finding them. Otherwise, we can stay stuck in maybe resentment or other kinds of feelings that really don't empower us and really don't make us, don't help us live a better life in the future. And I think this is quite important, and I really love what you just said and how you're doing this, because you anticipated my question. Like, I was curious how we can apply this, how we can shift from seeing the situations that we are in or that we were in, so that we can see them with appreciation, with gratitude, and see the gifts that we had in them. Yeah, this is real good.
Yeah, thank you. I think you mentioned it earlier in the interview, but just, you know, the role of empathy in the mix. You know, one of the most challenging and most magnificent things that sometimes we can do is be in a space or practice being in a space of empathy with the people who are most challenging for us, or with even the situations that are most challenging to us. You know, that people, you know, even people who do the quote unquote worst things, you know, for some reason they think that that's the right choice at that point, you know, from, you know, their experiences, their history, you know, how they were raised, their circumstances, you know, whatever, yeah, chemical and neurological combinations are going on. Like, there's so many things that we don't understand about people. And you know, empathy gives us that opportunity to, you know, enter into that space and, you know, sometimes, you know, really even feel some sense of understanding for, you know, somebody who we can't even imagine, you know, that we're anything like, and, you know, why the hell are they doing that? you know, and it's, you know, it doesn't mean it's easy, but it, I think it really, really opens up space, because when there's that insight, you know, it gives us compassion, which is powerful and transformative, And I think gives us an opportunity to make a much more informed and comprehensive choice about our response.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it makes us less reactive. Like, instead of just reacting to that particular thing, we can choose another way of seeing it, and one that's more empowering, because when we are reactive, it's not really very empowering.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And and it can be really hard sometimes. I think I want to just give a little extra, you know, a few extra moments to that, mm-hmm. that, you know, gratitude can be a difficult practice. You know, empathy can be a difficult practice at times. I can't remember where I heard this term. You know, that's why they call it a practice and not a perfect, right?
Yeah,
because we try again, you know, and if we quote unquote fail, which we really don't fail, right? As long as we're not giving up, you know, we can just try again, and there's always another opportunity. And that opportunity might be in the next moment, because there are some times where, you know, in one single moment, I can't get to that space of gratitude. But maybe after a deep breath and, you know, a walk around the block or whatever I need to do, then there's a little bit more spaciousness and a little bit more opportunity to invite gratitude into the mix.
This is awesome. Like, it's not perfection. It's a practice. It's something that we get better at, and we choose, even though it's not easy all the time. I love this. So where can our audience find you? Where can our audience see your work and reach out to you?
Thank you. Yeah, so influencewithaheart.com is my website. And I have an opt-in on my site that has a sample of my book, Influence with a Heart. And it really gives the nutshell of my teachings around empathy, story, thought leadership. And I get a little bit into the mindfulness as well. So I think it's a really great introduction to me and my stuff. And there's a tremendous amount of value in the perspective and some of the practices that I teach right there. So invite everybody to come check it out, and, you know, hope everybody who's listening really enjoys it.
Definitely. Thank you so much for being here with us and for sharing all of these wonderful nuggets of wisdom. It has been an amazing time. Thank you.
Thank you so much, George. And a pleasure as well. And thank you for doing the good work you're doing. It's incredibly important. So thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to our weekly podcast. Help us reach our goal of inspiring 100,000 people by sharing this podcast with your loved ones, with your Facebook friends. And if you loved this episode, please write a review on iTunes.